On Sunday, March 9th, 2002, three women, two in their 20s and one in her 30s, were killed in Chicago when part of a 25-foot aluminum scaffold fell in high winds from the 43rd floor of the John Hancock Center. These three women were in their cars, unsuspecting of any danger, when the incident occurred. The Sunday Chicago Tribune headline stated, "Tragedy at the Hancock." Tragedy is hard to understand. It's hard to explain, and it's often really hard on our faith. Some people blame God for all that happens and become bitter toward Him. They ask for explanation, but get silence. They ask for understanding, and get none. Much of what happens in life is beyond us. We don't understand why some people have cancer. We don't understand why some people are in tragic accidents. We don't understand why some people suffer premature heart attacks. We don't understand why some people live in constant pain while others live mostly trouble-free lives. And with all that we don't understand, we need to understand one fundamental biblical truth, and that is that God never explains Himself. The events that occur in our world seldom make sense, which confronts us with the bottom line issue of Christianity, that the righteous live by faith. Now let's take a look at that. The righteous live by faith. First of all, observe an expression of faith. One of the greatest expressions of faith that was ever made came from the prophet Habakkuk. He lived in times that were really hard on faith. He saw the righteous suffering and he saw the wicked prospering. Most prophets spoke to the people for God. Habakkuk, on the other hand, spoke to God for the people. And he asked God the two questions that we often ask. Why and how long? Why are these things happening? And how long will it be before they're taken care of? If you're there in Habakkuk, you turn to chapter 1 in verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. God revealed to Habakkuk that the Babylonians would be used as an instrument of judgment on the Hebrew people. What a heavy weight to have on his heart, to know that God was going to use this terrible people to punish his brothers, his sisters. And the prophet didn't understand. He couldn't grasp it. For a time, evil would win over righteousness. And bad things would happen to good people. And God told Habakkuk that that was coming. And during this time, where these things would be happening, God's hand wouldn't move. His face wouldn't be seen. And yet, through it all, the correct conduct of the believer is this, that the righteous will live by faith. In chapter 2 and verse 4, Habakkuk says, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Habakkuk did realize that although he didn't understand the ways of God, and he didn't agree with the plan of God, because who would, when you hear that all your countrymen are going to be punished, and there's going to be great suffering, how could you agree with that? But although he didn't understand the ways of God and he didn't agree with the plan of God, he couldn't doubt the love and dependability of God. In response to that, he wrote his great declaration of faith. You want to turn to chapter 3 in verse 17 to see this great, great statement of faith by the prophet. He said, though the fig trees may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flocks may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me to walk on my high hills. Even if everything he relied on failed, if everything that made his life stable crumbled, he would still trust the Lord. If Habakkuk were speaking today, he might say something like, though the stock market crashes, the company goes bankrupt, and the economy heads south, if everything I rely on tumbles, still I will trust in the Lord. My confidence in God will not change. A second thing is, observe the importance of faith. Corrie Ten Boom knew something about tragedy and suffering. She lived with a courageous faith. Upon emerging from a Nazi concentration camp, she said these words, "There is no pit so deep that God isn't deeper still." Pain and tragedy is a pit. And for some people, it appears bottomless. It just seems like it doesn't end. It seems like no matter what, it just gets worse and worse. You're in that dark tunnel and it seems like there's finally a light at the end of the tunnel and it turns out to be an oncoming train. You get past that and the roof caves in. And just when you think it couldn't get any worse, the floor falls out. For some people, it just seems that the pain and the tragedy just are continuous. They're endless. Producing confusion and fear. It seems that whatever you grab for support is just out of reach. Sometimes you only see blackness ahead while trying to focus on the memories of your life that you used to know. Many feel that God is nowhere to be found. But Habakkuk reminds us that even in the pits of tragedy, God is still there. He's present. The pain is real. It's real. There's no denying. There's no putting that aside. The pain is real. But God is also real. And that's where faith comes in. Faith reminds us that in those moments between the illogical and logic, between misunderstanding and understanding, between questions and answers, we're called to trust God. The importance of faith. But also, take a look at the beliefs of faith. And what are those beliefs? What are the beliefs of faith? Well, first of all, faith believes that God does not make mistakes. Faith believes that God does not make mistakes. We view life as though we're watching a parade at ground level. We can only see what is immediately in front of us. But God is high above, and He sees all of life with one glance. He sees both the beginning and the end of things while we only get to see the present. Things sometimes get clearer after the event, but while the crisis is occurring, we are usually unaware of why we're going through it. And for this reason, we're called to trust God, believing that He is too wise to make a mistake. On the wall of a concentration camp, a prisoner had carved these words, "I believe in the sun, even though it does not shine. I believe in love, even when it isn't shown. I believe in God even when He doesn't speak. Faith believes God does not make mistakes. Whatever's going on in our lives, it's not a mistake. God is at the bottom of it, either because He caused it to be that way or He allowed it to be that way. Faith also believes that God cannot be cruel. Over a marble fireplace in the mathematics building of Princeton University, written in German, is the statement, God is subtle, but He is never malicious. Whatever God does, He always does for our good. Romans 8:28 and 29, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. These verses do not say that everything that happens is good, because it isn't. These verses do not say that God causes everything that happens. He doesn't. These verses do not say that everything will turn out okay for everyone, because it won't. What these verses do say is that God's purpose is to make us like His Son, Jesus Christ. And to that end, He uses all things, the good and the bad, that which He causes and that which He allows. No experience is wasted if we give it to God. Faith believes that God cannot be cruel. And then faith believes God works His timetable. Now, a man found a cocoon on a tree in his yard, and he was intrigued by it and decided to watch it change. And one day he saw a tiny butterfly inside the delicate covering, and he watched it struggling, trying its best to break out of its captivity. Finally, the man became so frustrated that he decided to use a razor blade to make a tiny slit in the side of the cocoon to help the struggling butterfly. Soon the butterfly was free, but it couldn't fly, and it died prematurely. When we attempt to try to impose our timetable on God, we get into trouble. And the reason is because it's through struggles that we obtain strength. It's kind of like the saying in bodybuilding, no pain, no gain. There are times when we want to short circuit the growing process. We want it over while God wants to prepare us for a task. Or He wants to take us to a new phase of our Christianity. We want to short circuit that process. And in so doing, we often miss what God has planned. Or we're not prepared for what God is getting us ready for. Faith believes that God works His timetable, not our timetable. Faith also believes that God is in control. George Buttrick wrote, "The same sun that hardens the clay melts the wax." It's our choice whether we let the inevitable suffering and misfortune of life to harden us or to soften us. It's up to us how we respond. The troubles come, the circumstances arrive, and how we allow them to impact us is up to us. We can resist them, reject them, be frustrated by them, and get hardened. Or we can let God have His way and grow us, make us more mature, make us more usable for His purposes. It's all about whether or not we live by faith, trusting that God is in control of His creation. We choose to be hopeful or hopeless. That's our choice. We like to say, well, this made me. Well, that may have put a lot of pressure on us. That may have thrown some temptation to do one thing or another, but we choose to be hopeful or hopeless. We decide to be optimistic or pessimistic. We determine to look forward or to look back. We determine that. We decide how we're going to live this life. And then finally, faith believes that God can be trusted. Back to chapter 3 and verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. And the deer Habakkuk is referring to is a mountain climbing deer that's known for its sure and steady feet. On the most treacherous terrain, it never fails. This is the Lord's promise to us. He'll make our feet, or He'll make our life sure like that deer. He'll make our life steady like that deer. He will keep us on our feet as we move through the difficult paths of this life. He may not get us out of the troubles, but He promised us to get us through them. Where's your faith? Maybe the issues of your life seem so dark that you can't see God's face. Maybe you're having trouble seeing God because of it. Maybe you wonder if God is even there. Maybe you wonder if God cares. The Word of God proclaims that God is here, and He will never leave you, that He cares too much for you. Even when you can't see His hand at work, you can trust His heart of love. Will you trust Him? Even if you don't understand why, will you trust Him? Will you trust Him because you know that He knows why? Even if you wonder how long, will you trust Him? Trust Him because He knows the time and the length of the suffering, the circumstances come into your life. Will you trust Him because He is God?